live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 292. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. We'll be joined in about 5 minutes or so from my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. Man, we've got a lot to talk about this evening. College basketball is in its prime right now. We've got the NCAA March Madness is here. We've got the conference tournaments already starting for a lot of them. We've got some of them that are already finished. We've got the big boys that are about to start. Actually, they started yesterday or today. And then really all the teams get going tomorrow. So we've got that, which leads into Sunday's selection show. The field of 68 gets put out there. And then we start the madness itself. We've got NBA going on just as well. NBA Pacers. Pacers had a big win last night at Oklahoma City. A resounding win for the Pacers there against Oklahoma City. Nobody really kind of gave them any chance to win that game. I know I didn't think they were going to win that game, but they won 121 to 111 last night. Miles Turner had 24 points. Shai Gilgeous, he had his 30 points. But the Pacers overall, Siakam with 18, Nesmith with 15, Miles Turner with 24, Nimhar with 14, Halliburton with 18, Obi Toppin with 10, six guys in double figures. That's going to help you for sure with getting into the top five seeds that you're wanting to get into here for the Pacers. Pacers right now 37-29 overall with Indiana. That's going to put them right now at the sixth seed, just a half game back of Orlando. Orlando, who's playing well. The Pacers, who just the other day, and I know John will bring it up when we get him on, but they just talked about, they just went to Orlando and dominated at Orlando. So we will, we'll see we got what happens here. Pacers tonight in with Chicago. Chicago's in town. Game getting ready to start here in a few minutes. The Bulls game is one you got to win. One that you can't let slip and you got to win. So I don't want to hear any excuses. This is a game you got to win. The Pacers are 2-9. 2-9 this season coming off of back-to-back games. So the records are not good for them, but we'll see what kind of happens with that. So we'll see. We'll take a quick call real quick. We hear. We got, let's see. Crossroads Sports, who we got?
Hey, man, this is Jonathan Birdsong, man. I told you the D-State's at me today, Brandon.
You got us a new phone? Your new phone number?
Nah, man, the D-State's at me, man. You know they at my throat. They was at our throats at the Horizon League Championship. You know what I'm saying? As we were trying to broadcast, and they're at my throat today as I'm having technical difficulties with my normal phone situation. But, like, nah, man, I'm back on, man. It's good to be back. All right, where are we at part in the show? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I already gave a rundown. Really going to hit on the I'm talking Pacers first, really, because I was trying to kill some Pacers action. But they won a big game at Orlando, which was huge. They won last night. Nobody, including myself, thought they would win last night. They ended up winning six guys in double figures. Now they got a game tonight where it's a must win. It's a must win oh my God, it's the end of the season, but must win is that you need to beat the teams that you need to beat. And this one is directly in your division. You're 2-9 in your back to backs this year, which is not great. I don't want to hear excuses. Right. Tonight's a must win.
Well, hey man, hold on now. This is not snow over the fact that a pivotal piece is not, you know, it's not going to be playing out there with the Pacers for the rest of the season. So Ben Mather, it was reported, you know what I'm saying? And it is and unfortunately true that Ben Mather is going to be out for the rest of the season with a hurt shoulder. But, like, I want to also kind of commend, though. I'm not going to overpraise it, though, Brandon. I'm going to be honest with you. We got to commend the fact that the team has stepped up. Because I know there were people people were kind of considering and kind of critical of, like, how the Pacers going to make up that that production. And to be honest with you, Brandon, I was probably in that camp, but – you know, you got to think about it, though, Brandon. Like, so think we got two free agents, right? And we got a hungry, you know, say T.J. McConnell. We got two free agents, you know, saying guys, you know, saying. And I know there's probably an under-the-table agreement that Pajon Siakam is going to be a future Pacer going further. But, like, hey, man, he's here to show what he can do. He can't just live off the Toronto Raptors resume, right? You know what I'm saying? And right. Obi Toppin as well. I would put Obi Toppin in that position as well. Again, President Deschard was not to trade Obi Toppin at the trade deadline. And, you know what I'm saying, with Ben Mather being out, even though they play different positions, I mean, there's more minutes for him. So, and I think those particular Pacers have kind of rose to the occasion. Again, we all know Pacers Siakam is probably here more long-term than Obi Toppin. But you never know. You know what I'm saying? What kind of numbers might come out once the salary cap, you know what I'm saying, gets boosted up at the end of the year. So, man, I want to commend the other pieces. You know what I'm saying? When we first started talking about this Pacers team and them winning 40 games, we talked about them having a great depth. And I know some of that depth got traded away with Buddy Hield and now another depth hitter again. So it might come down, Brandon, to like they're gassing at it. You know what I'm saying? Who we don't know, but right now, man, it looks pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Again, you can't necessarily, you know what I'm saying, organically at any time replace what Ben Mathurin and his maturation with this team. It was in development, right? All those things kind of going.
Well, let me ask you this.
This team. But,
with
so
Ben
like, nah,
Mather.
Man, they got pieces. They got pieces, man, that stepped up. So I'm commending that.
Ben Mathurin, and I'm not dogging him at all. I don't want that to seem like that's what I'm doing because I'm not. I like Ben Mathurin. I like his moxie. I like the way he plays. But let me ask you this, John. This year was supposed to be the coming out party, if you remember right, for Ben Mathurin. This is the year we thought, okay, he's going to be a starter, and he's going to play a lot more with Tyrese Halliburton, and there were spots where he did start, but he went back to the bench and did a lot of coming off the bench, and his stats are actually worse this year for points per game, for steals, for assists. Rebounds are the exact same, but more turnovers. Like, I expected, I guess, a bigger leap from Mathurin that we didn't get. And I know we could say, well, he didn't play the whole season. Well, let's pump the brakes because he damn near played 60-some games this year. 59 games he played. Okay? We were expecting that leap, that extra leap forward, and we didn't get it. So it's like, all right, Ben, like, next year's got – it's got to be it. Like, this is the year you got to shell out a little bit more. He wasn't the starting lineup, and that might be a Rick Carlisle thing possibly, but stats were down a little bit this year compared to last year. And we didn't put him in as a starter steadily that we thought he would be playing around. I mean, if he is the future, he needs to play as much as he can with – Tyrese Halliburton, with Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, and we didn't see it a lot. The only reason he did on some was because of other injuries, but we need to see it as like a fresh five, and we have not seen that, and that's my only concern, if I have a concern going into next season of what we need to see from him.
Man, your concern level, you sound like he's real, like he's Jonathan Bender, though, man.
No, I said that. I said no, but...
Okay, so we're not on DEFCON 5. That's good.
No.
Brandon, I think, and it's not necessarily the blame, because I know we like to blame Coach Carlisle a lot. I think it's just he has to find the right gel of players at those at their guard and wing positions between him. I'm talking about from what he had at the beginning of the season, between
right.
Ben Mathurin, Buddy Hield, and my guy that you are hypercritical of now. This in and out. I don't want to call him, not Norad. I don't want. What's his name? I can't remember his name. I saw him tip my thumb, but he's in and out of lineup. Backup point guard, shooting guard.
Nembhard.
But yeah, thank you, Nembhard. Thank you. I was gonna say Norad, but like Norad's a coach, man. I'm sorry, man. But I know, man. Respect. So like, I think Brandon. Those are the that's kind of where his numbers are at. If we look at not to be overcritical, I bet you Nembhard's numbers are a little. You know, up and down, man. So, With the injury though, Brandon, I think that kind of puts a black eye on this season. You know what I'm saying? I get it what you're trying to say. You would rather him. You saying you like his edge, but the edge didn't say, "Hey man, Buddy Hill." It didn't necessarily force Buddy Hill into early. The Pacers actually thought about it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The Pacers actually gave him Buddy Hill a contract when it's in the bin. Right. Hey man, we already know Buddy. We should know Buddy. He's going to be here a part timer because we know Ben Mathins is our future. So. I don't know. I think Brandon, when you look at his talent, you know it is there. I think they're concerned about him being a consistent floor stretcher. So I don't have his numbers right now, his 3-point numbers right now. But again, when you think him, you don't necessarily think 3-point. You know what I'm saying? Efficiency, and then maybe that's kind of what they're kind of wanting him to rise on. But like, man, you know, I get where your criticism comes from.
Okay. I don't really have too much other NBA wise. It just kind of. NBA is kind of down a little bit. Not down, I'm sorry, but it's kind of not the focal point currently right now in March with everything else going on with the NFL and college basketball. So, but no, Pacers got one tonight. They need to win. I don't want any excuses tonight. I don't care if it's a back-to-back or not. You need this win, and you need to stack up the next one as well because you take the Nets. Because the games that you win against teams that you didn't expect, Orlando, Thunder, both of them road games, you can't come home against the Bulls and Nets and you lose both of those. You absolutely cannot. So we'll see what happens here. Pacers won 3 their last 4. The only one they lost is when Aaron Nesmith tried to do a Reggie Miller layup and Tayshaun Prince / Anthony Edwards blocked the hell out of it. And we'll see because they've got a good game. They've got Nets, Cavs, Pistons. Those if they win the next 4 games, Bulls, Nets, Cavs, Pistons, that's going to put them at 41 wins, John. That cashes my over bet of 39.5 wins. Well, 40.5 wins.
Yeah, there you go.
So we're almost there. We're almost there. Finish line. College basketball, John. Let's dive deep. College basketball. Let's talk. First, a special shout out. Thank you to the Horizon League who invited us. Well. Yeah, we got credentials for the Horizon League basketball tournament. John, me and you spent the last 2 nights together there at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum watching some great basketball games. And last night's championship game proved that it was a lot of big crowd there. It was loud, energetic, and Oakland University Sankey's team advanced to the NCAA tournament. So shout out to Oakland, John, your thoughts on the Horizon League tournament that you saw, give us some notes, your thoughts, and I'll kind of continue with you.
Right, man. So the first night, man, I'm automatically seeking out, you know what I'm saying, the mascots. And if anybody thinks that's unprofessional, I do apologize, but it's just the Crossroads Sports thing. It's the Jonathan Burson thing. I'm sorry, but like, no, man, this is where, you know what I'm saying? The Horizon League is a collection of mid majors. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't know, it's a collection of mid majors. Universities that don't necessarily have a whole lot of resources on the football tip and their primary basketball schools. Guys are giving their all because this is a one bid league, right? Very rarely does the Horizon League, ever since Butler left, right? If I recall, Brandon, ever, you know what I'm saying? And even then, they were still a one bid team, you know what I'm saying, tournament team. So,
yeah.
So like, it's kind of winning, you know what I'm saying? You play all these, you know what I'm saying, 28, 30 games in the season. And if you're good enough to get into, you know what I'm saying, into tournament, into conference, you know what I'm saying, conference play, there you are, man. The last 2 seasons, we've been there because, you know what I'm saying, the State Fairgrounds and the State Fairgrounds host the Horizon League Championships, man. Last year, I think we were kind of like timid, kind of figure our way out into the world around that, all that. But this year, man, we were kind of like right on the sidelines, you know what I'm saying, 10 toes deep, rather. But like, nah, man, it was great, great action. To see guys, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily pampered guys, you know what I'm saying, guys just, you know what I'm saying, gritting it out and trying to win some basketball games, man. We saw some great shooting from Oakland University. Brandon got a new player that he's following. What's his name? Goki? What's his name? Goki? He's from Wisconsin. He's from Wisconsin. I don't want to mess up his name, man. Dude, that dude's a Division III guy. He played like 4 seasons in Division III. They finally got him out. Finally got him opportunity. You know what I'm saying? As a graduate student, And he made a whole lot of it. He made the most of it. How many threes did he have just last night? Like five or six?
Yeah, he had five last night. And, grad student coming on the team, you know. And then, obviously, the Horizon Player of the Year. You got a nice photo with him.
The kid, man, let me tell you something. So, like, his dad, Townsend, played for Oakland. I'm surprised the daggone announcer, we didn't get to talk like that. But I'm surprised the announcer didn't ask him, you know what I'm saying, or ask his dad when he was up there taking pictures and whatnot with the trophy. It was great seeing that kid. I don't know, you know what I'm saying, NBA, you know what I'm saying, that's what the automatic people ask me, Brandon, when they say the MVP of a Horizon League like that, what do you think about his talent? I don't know if it's NBA level or not. Could he play, you know what I'm saying, because I know some people look, you know what I'm saying, kind of look down at this mid-major Horizon League as a step-down type of basketball tournament league. I can't necessarily say that. The champs beat Xavier. They beat the teams like Xavier. They played Ohio State. They played teams, you know what I'm saying? So, but like Townsend, like, dude, he can play with anybody. You know what I'm saying? Loves the baseline. Baseline play, likes to mix it up down there, you know what I'm saying? I didn't really see him shoot a lot of outside shots, him. But he had a nice touch on his free throws, man. And he lived at the free throw, I felt like, because, you know, he was a max level player, max use player. His ball always touches his hands offensively, you know what I'm saying? At least twice, you know what I'm saying, during possession. And defensively, he's pretty good too, man. But, like, no, man, it was great seeing them. I don't want to just shout out them. We saw some great basketball out of Northern Kentucky. Yeah. We saw some great basketball out of Cleveland State as well. You know what I'm saying? So it was great. I know Brandon made the afternoon morning part and saw some of the ladies' action as well. But it's great to experience some of the Horizon League and how they present basketball. Like, dude, every game I felt there was no blowouts, at least I didn't saw. And like I said, every game was gritty and close, and, you know what I'm saying, kind of came down to that one or two possession, man. If you missed it, and of course you did, you know what I'm saying, if you missed it this year, if it comes back next year, I would suggest anybody that calls themselves a basketball fan, college basketball fan, to check out the Horizon League Championship, man. But because, like, you know, man, we're going to be there again next year, Brandon, right? But, like, nah, man,
yep.
It's great to be on the sideline. It's great to hear. I know Brandon's going to probably tell us a little about his new favorite coach, Coach Lampke of Oakland University. It was a great, wonderful experience, man. And actually, I can't wait to run it back next year.
Yeah. It was great, John. I know, and if people are going to ask, and we got the John did enjoy the catering, people. I just want everybody to know, Birdsong did enjoy the catering that was provided. He had some deep steak stuff going on, man. He couldn't get his phone working. He finally made up with me there, but I joked with John and just behind the curtain action. I said, "Boy, you're lucky. I'm not a head manager or something where I'd be fining his ass. So I would give you a couple fines for the last couple days." But all good. John, I've got two new favorite coaches, man. Kevin Borseth from Wisconsin Green Bay, one of my favorite coaches. This dude's 69 years old, John, coaching basically the reincarnation of Bob Knight, just on his toughness level, and scariness level. This dude, overall, John, this man has coached here. He's went to Michigan and coached the Wolverines, and then he came back to this place. Overall record, John, 747 wins. 295 losses. That's a 71% winning percentage overall for his career. This dude is so tough, John. And I was sitting behind the bench for his game. They ended up winning the women's. So they are in the NCAA tournament coming up. So I might even pick them. Eight-time coach of the year. This guy, John, he began his coaching career at a minimum security prison where he ran the open gyms for inmates. You want to talk about tough-nosed dude?
That's right.
This dude is a beast. Oh, he was cussing up and down the court. He was bitching at the refs. He scared a couple of refs. I think there was pee on the ground they had to wipe up from the scare of the referees so much. But, no, man, he's one of my favorite coaches. from this. I got a new respect for him. I like him. And then obviously, the man, the myth and legend, Greg Campy, 40 seasons, John. They had him on SportsCenter last night with SVP Scott Van Pelt.
Mm-hmm.
And they highlighted him, showing his record. Spent the most season. He is the number one coach in Division 1A that spent the most time at a single college. This dude spent 40 years in Oakland. This is going to be their fifth trip to the big dance. I love Oakland's court. Oakland's court is a dark, deep wood type. Really, Zach Frederick. If EA Sports ever came on our college basketball game, that's where I'd start my dynasty. I'd start it right there. That court is awesome. But they went through. They had a nice win, 83-76 last night over Milwaukee. Before that, on Monday, they beat Cleveland State 74-71. Oakland was the number one seed overall. But, yeah, man, it just a couple great games, two great coaches I got more respect for now, and I'm going to keep some eyes on them as they go here future into the NCAA tournaments for both these teams. Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, if the tournament committee is listening to Crossroads Sports, and I know they are because they all be trying to shut me down. Like, man, don't F Oakland over, man. Give them a nice seed. Don't just automatically tag them in as a, you know what I'm saying, a 13 or something wild, man. These dudes can play. You know what I'm saying? They have great shooting. They have good shooting that can be great because, like I said.
Wants the 13 seed. He just doesn't want the 14. No, he said it today on the radio. He wants the.
Oh, did he really?
They have him penciled in at 14, but he thinks they deserve a 13 based on their resume.
Wow. Like I said, they beat some teams, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Some
teams and it's important because the 13 seeds won a lot of double-digit games against the 3 seed. It's the the 4 seed. The 3 seed who plays the 14 has not. So you want to get the – you would rather play that 4 seed.
Yeah, if they had to draw – so I'll be honest with you, Brandon. Let's just keep it real, man. If they had to draw against a team like – a Purdue with a primary big like that'd be a tough ask for them. That's gonna be a tough ask for anybody because like anybody who's talking about Purdue basketball, you better be talking about them in the Final Four, right? So I would say even a team like a Duke would they could be suspect though because Duke does have a primary big, but we all know he ain't that big.
Well, I'll give you right now Joe Lunardi where he has them currently. Right. So give me a second. Let me figure. I've got his bracket. Let's see. We're going to look in the Midwest region. Maybe they put him in the Midwest. They do not have him in the Midwest. Do they have him in the East? They do not have him in the East. Do they have him in the West? Oakland, not in the West. Do they have – give me a second. Did I just miss him? Give me 1 minute. Oh, okay. I got him. They are in the Midwest. Sorry. They got him as a 14 seed, taking on the 3 seed Iowa State Cyclones, who are on a mission right now.
They're on a tear. Iowa State's on a tear. Got decent guard play. My man has turned that team around. This is gonna be a pretty good game, man. If I would say this, Brandon, and you saw it too. If Oakland and the point guards, they escaped me. They kind of played erratic, even though they won the game. If they can keep turnovers down and they can at least get to the free throw line, because I don't know about their particular shots, I think Oakland might be able to beat that particular or hang with that. Because the hanging, we're not talking about hanging. You got to win. It's win or go home, so ain't no more hanging, right? If all those things can happen, they'll win. And they're gonna, of course, they're going to have to try to, you know what I'm saying, control the boards because that's what Iowa State is going to try to do on them. So. But no, man, that'll be the key to success. I'll be all over it.
All right, we've got the Purdue Boilermakers, John. They won their last game of the season, number one seed in the Big Ten tournament coming up. They're going to play the winner, Michigan State and Minnesota. Indiana is coming in as the sixth seed. They're going to play the winner of Michigan and Penn State, who are playing later tonight. They'll play them tomorrow. Big Ten tournament, John. Ooh, and I told you last night, maybe Purdue just needs to let one go. Maybe win the first game, maybe lose on Saturday. I know you want to be hot going to the NCAAs, but you also kind of want to get that regroup, that refocus. But my nerves are officially kicked in. I was listening to Rick Pitino. He was on a couple shows today, and they were talking about who he likes, how many teams he thinks could win, and he said about 8 teams could win the tournament overall, but his overall pick would be Purdue. This is their year based off of kind of what Virginia's done and Tony Bennett. Apparently Tony Bennett's kind of gave the game plan to Matt Painter last offseason, allegedly, when they talked. And it just seems like a different type of Purdue team, John. And this team's losing 5 or 6 seniors. It you never know when again, so it has to be this year. It has to be.
No, you would always be this year. But I'm not that guy that says you need to lose. Man, I get that. That's kind of like you kind of go back into your fan superstition, Brandon. And I'd remind you, you are professional now. But listen, man, here's what I'll say. They should want to get to the Big Ten championship game. If that means playing your blood rival, IU, then so be it, man, because iron sharpens iron. And if IU can somehow – I mean, I think IU – I mean, I don't know. I'm shifting.
Stop it.
I know we're going to flip back and forth. IU's in.
No, they're not.
Tournament.
No, they're not.
They're the 6th seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, yeah, but not the tournament. Not the NCAAs.
You're telling me if they lose a game in the Big Ten tournament, they won't be in, or they still need to win a game to be in?
They need to win the whole tournament to get into the tournament.
I don't think that's accurate. I think they need to
win. I think it's 100% accurate. They don't have the net, John. They talked about it today on the radio. They have zero chance. They have to win the tournament, the Big Ten tournament, to get in. They have zero shot. Their net rating is 89. They only take the top 32, remember.
They only take the top 32, so.
Yeah. 89.
I don't know, man. I think they get in, Brandon. They
let me tell you this. They dropped them. Now they're 94. 18 and 13, they're 94. They're not even on the bubble watch for people. Let me tell you this. You would rather have an Indiana team at 18 and 13 get in over Indiana State, who deserves it?
I'm just saying based off their brand.
I don't give a shit about their brand. You ain't played well enough.
These last couple games they have.
You let me tell you the ones they haven't? You're 3-8 against Quad 1. 3-8.
Brandon, you're not. I get what you're saying. All those quad. Remember, man, we just got out of football season where they said everything, all those analytics that we all lose our minds about don't mean a gosh darn thing because Indiana.
You're doing basketball.
Indiana brings viewership. Does it not?
Yep. Not by the NCAA tournament, though, John. It does, but when you're shit.
Oh, my goodness. Where's these games? Hold on, Brandon. Where's some of these games at? Are they at Gainbridge or are they at Gainbridge or not?
Yeah, and they've got 2 local teams already in it.
What? Besides Purdue, remember, Indiana State is still waiting. I'm sorry, man. They kind of
local. Okay, I will tell you this. Local regional, Marquette. Marquette will be the 2nd team in Indiana playing in Indianapolis. They're going to be the 2 seed, and they will be playing in Indy.
Yeah. I go for that,
but IU hasn't done it, John.
I kind of thought before they got. I'm saying, listen, when we put the IU, we can nip it. I thought before they got on the street, the same thing like you did. They got to win the whole thing. I don't think they have to win the whole thing anymore. I think they've got to get into a.
No,
Brandon. I think they've got to get into a. I think they got to get to a game with Illinois, and they'll get in. If
John,
they beat Illinois, great. Okay, go ahead.
The bracketologist. I'm looking at
Illinois,
five different people who have put their things out with the bubbles. Gary Parrish, Joe Lunardi, this dude, this other guy that's on the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
IU's not even in the second set of teams that are out because mm-hmm. the last 4 byes they have are Michigan State, Seton Hall, TCU, Mississippi State. The last 4 in, Colorado, Virginia, St. John's, and Indiana State. First 4 out, Texas A&M, New Mexico, Wake Forest, Villanova. The next 4 out, Pittsburgh, Iowa, Providence, Minnesota. I'm sorry. The Hoosiers are not going to get in. They can't get in. Their conference, John, they're not even – where'd they finish in the – I mean, yeah, Big Ten's not even going to get that many teams in the tournament. Michigan State and Iowa are the two bubble teams. They have better net ratings than what their Michigan State's net rating. They have the same record as IU. Michigan State does. Michigan State's net ranking is 20 or 24. Iowa 61. IU 94. IU did not play the quality opponents that they needed to play this year. 11 of their 18 wins are against quad three and quad four. Quad four automatically eliminates you from anything that's close. Automatically it does. I read through it all today. The committee does not look at your quad four. They say it's basically like, we don't give a shit. You're playing these teams that are like LaSalle and whatever. IU just played a soft-ass schedule. Army, 8-22. Wright State. Louisville, 8-24. Harvard. Like Morehead State, North Alabama, Kennesaw State. They didn't play the conference, the record they needed to play in the non-conference. They just didn't. If they would have, they would have had their shot.
But Mike Woodson leaned on, and it's a gamble, Brandon, he's leaning on his Big Ten conference. And I'm telling you, if
they
didn't
get
the championship game, well, if they get to the championship game, they're going to win. If they get to the championship game, they're going to get in, I'm telling you.
No.
All right, man.
They have to win the championship game for them to get in. I will bet you $100, even if they get to the championship game, they will not get in.
Yeah, but they have beaten the ranked team.
Not the top ones. Allegedly, John, allegedly. They could still get in there not playing ranked teams. Right? I mean, they have to play. They play Michigan and Penn State.
If Purdue loses, yeah.
Then they have to play Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And then say Illinois loses to Wisconsin or whoever. You know? So
I don't know, man.
I
said they got to keep winning. I will say that.
They got to win the whole thing for it. I've talked to several even IU people. They've got to win the whole tournament. Osterman even said it, which take that for a grain of salt as the IU beat writer, but they've got to win the whole damn thing to get in. And their net rating of a 94 shows that there's 60 some other teams that deserve to get in before they do.
So you telling me this is what you, all right, we're going to shift a little gears here one time. So you telling me IU might have said an NIT bid to play in Hinkle.
They've done it before.
A post?
They've done
NIT preseason. I don't remember. Shame on me, man. It's Crossroads Sports. Shame on Jonathan Berthold. I remember postseason NIT.
Yep. While we're talking, I'm bringing it up right now. Give me a second. Indiana.
The apologist to call in. Not for the Pacers because they didn't know apologies there, but for IU.
Let's see. That's okay. NIT. They were in the NIT in 2019, 2017, 2005.
Oh,
they lost to Wichita State in 2019.
Archie Miller.
Yep. But don't worry. They beat St. Francis and then Arkansas the first two games. 2017, they lost to Georgia Tech. And then 2005, they lost to Vanderbilt.
So, legitimately, in your mind, you're only thinking four Big Ten teams? I don't believe that. Going? Three?
Let me bring up the conference real quick so I can see it officially again. Just had it up. I've got, from my bracketology and Nick Peterson, we've got, obviously, Purdue, Illinois, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin. I've got five teams in. Nick has six with Michigan State. I kind of agree with him. Nick's good on his bracketology has been spot on, not spot on, but I mean, he's been in the upper 80% over the years with us. He has Michigan State in. I can see it being six teams. IU would be the eighth team.
Brandon, I know what you're going to say. How you going to have Wisconsin in? I don't know, man. Wisconsin split with IU this year. Wisconsin been on a spiral. How could they get in? They look like they got a better.
I can tell you how.
Season. Go ahead. They got a
better preseason. Their net ranking is 22. They have the 22 net. That's how you get in. They have more quad one wins than Michigan State or Iowa or Indiana or Ohio State. Their winning percentage, they're 11-9 in the conference. They have a winning Big Ten percentage. Let's see.
They
7-4. 7-4 against quad two. They've had some quality wins. Virginia, a bubble team, they beat them. Marquette, top 10 team, they beat them. They beat Michigan State. They lost to Arizona. Iowa, bubble team, they beat them. They beat Northwestern. That team's in. They beat Indiana. They beat Michigan State. And they lost to Nebraska, Purdue. But they won some of the games that they needed to win, John, early. And I know they've slid, but they also got the seventh hardest schedule in the country, which that means a little bit as well.
They did the reverse of IU. They schedule hard. And they won games, right? They won some quality games. Right.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
We'll see, Brandon. We'll see.
Shrink the schedule for IU. You want to know? 92. There's your answer why they're not getting in.
Just what? Hey, man, do you have an issue with Big Ten Coach of the Year?
No, not at all. I think Coach, I think Coe is good. Just because you got to reward Painter, A, for what he's doing with his organization. Like, I know people say, well, you don't want the best team to always win Coach of the Year. And that's right, but Painter really hasn't in the past. He hasn't won Coach of the Year when they've been number one with that. But for what he's done with this team, but I think also, you know, I have no problem with Hoiberg winning it as well.
Right.
Nobody expected what Nebraska's done. And nobody, not even people probably in Nebraska. But I think both are well deserved.
Right. I was shocked that he took that job. We all knew he shouldn't have never left Iowa State to come to the NBA because the NBA had changed, from the voice that he wanted to use, from a coaching standpoint, and he made his way back to the college ranks. Nebraska, we kind of thought was purgatory, right, from a basketball standpoint. We definitely think about it in football terms, right? But, no, man, I wanted to shout out. You know what, Brandon? I just think, man, coaches like Fred Hoiberg just kind of fly. I mean, not to disparage Nebraska, but why doesn't, a bigger time university, a blue blood, like come a calling? You know what I mean? Maybe they will.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Hold on. Breaking news from the NFL, which we will get to it. And I don't ever say, oh, wow. The Indianapolis Colts, John, have their new backup quarterback.
Stop it. One-year deal.
One-year deal. $8.7 million. Joe Flacco.
You serious?
Dead serious. Breaking news. Just got released. Joe Flacco has agreed to a one-year deal with the Colts up to $8.7 million.
Man, ain't no way in the hell. You want to put my Colts hat on?
Yep.
I'll take my. Come on, man. Joe Flacco?
The Colts fans not see what happened in the playoffs with Joe?
Did we need another coach? I thought he should be coaching, man. Like, it fell apart towards the end, y'all. And, like, he's an interception machine. No, Brandon. I know you were kind of high on him, because he had a couple good games there.
I said he won comeback player of the year, and he did.
Yeah, but like, man, his touchdown to turnover was a bonus, man. They was $8 million.
Joe Flacco.
You need to tell me, hey man, Brandon, I don't want to make this black and white, but it's gonna kind of sound like that, man. So I'm sorry. Joe Flacco got $8 million. They overpaid Kirk Cousins. Nothing against, and Kirk Cousins is still 30-something years old, but they overpaid Kirk Cousins and gave him an extra year. And Justin Fields can't get out of Chicago? I thought you was going to wow me and be like, hey, man, Justin Fields, the coach is trade for Justin Fields. No, man, you telling me they got Joe Flacco needs to go away. He needs to go away. Not be with the coach. He gonna play with every team? Come
how
on,
does
man.
He, how does he
that?
Run that
Nobody
offense? How does he run that offense?
How does Jim Irsay run the team, Brandon?
You know, hey, you know damn well. You know damn well as I do that Joe Flacco will be starting at least one or two games for the Colts next year. You know it.
Man, you don't have to say that, Brandon, but, like, there's a potential of that happening. So, from a coach standpoint, I'm gonna take my coach hat off right now and go back to professionalism, Brandon. From a coach standpoint, man, I guess we should just go younger. Just get a quarterback in the draft.
Hey, you should have took a chance on your boy Kaepernick, right? Could have brought him back.
Well, no, he's saying that dude's been after the league for how long, man. But, like, quarterbacks is making money. Like, there's no way I would pay Joe Flacco $8 million. There's no way. I still can't believe it. His agent must be a hypnotist. $8 million?
You know what he's saying?
Because he got a Super Bowl ring how many years ago? Man, please.
And he got ran by
Joe
the Steelers.
Flacco got $8 million. Man, please.
We got Mike Kelly on hold. We'll bring him on here in a second.
Bring money.
Some of the quarterback carousels going on. I just want to look at backups. Obviously, Gardner Minshew took $25 million to go out to the Raiders. Probably going to be their starter. Jacoby Brissett back with the Patriots. Sam Darnold to the Vikings. Mitchell Trubisky back up to the Bills. Marcus Mariota to the Commanders. Tyrod Taylor to the Jets. Jameis Winston to the Browns. Mason Rudolph today to the Titans, John. Joe Flacco to the Colts. Pardon me while I throw up. I think Ballard stepped in some shit on this one, but we'll bring on here. I know he's got something to say about it. Mike Kelly, what's going on, my man?
Oh, not much. Just on the highway, fellas, over in Pennsylvania. My little brother and I was talking about quarterback timing, right? And here's my thing. Now, he's a Colts fan. I am not. So he was defending all the different, but this addition right here, even though he's a backup, are you really trying to – what are you trying to do? Because that the timing, like that's not even – at least with what they had before – you could kind of, this will take over from, when the other guy got hurt with Gardner Minshew. But with Flacco, I agree with the falling apart. What do you guys think? Honestly, and I know I probably jumped the gun a little bit. You probably was getting ready to tap. But I just don't understand what are you really trying to do? You just want to get a body in there? I'm like what John said. You could have got somebody – you could have got somebody from college. You could have got somebody from one of these practice squads.
Yeah.
For $8 million, you're really not trying to do anything. You literally
pissing money.
What I will say, Mike, is that when they chose not to go, like Gardner Minshew wanted to start. That's clear. And what the Raiders
paid.
Can
you blame
me? No. But. Well, like this money, there was money that the Colts probably going to pay him like $17 million to be a backup. I know that's crazy because that would be double what we'd be paying Joe Flacco. But it would have been in a right. 1 year span where versus 2 years where he got for the Raiders, right? And he knows he's probably on short timers. He knows he's probably on short timers out there as well. I think from the Colts standpoint, they got to know if Anthony, not a make or break. This would be like we got to see if this kid can do it or not. So now the kid doesn't have to worry about Gardner Minshew looking over his shoulder. And even though it's an overpay for Joe Flacco, there ain't no way in God's green earth, unless he's really broke down, that Joe Flacco's going to go out there. Brandon kind of already said it, that he thinks he's going to go out there. There might be some truth in that just because just because AK maybe don't necessarily have all his grown man muscles just yet, and he hasn't played a whole heck of a lot of snaps.
Semi-professional
football in Florida included. You have to have snaps. You got to have the rest, all those things. But from what they've seen in his recovery time and he's out there swinging golf clubs and whatnot, it seems like everything's a go. What that means right now, doesn't necessarily mean when you got pass rushers coming at you. But if he can be durable enough to it's for me, it's just frustrating because you have to see it, y'all. To be a successful football team, you got to have, you know, so you got to be deep at least two positions, either quarterback or running back. And, you know, in most teams, they don't necessarily have some sort of that going on. Unless you got Patrick Mahomes, then you got a system all to his own. But you just want to have,
right,
from the coach standpoint, right, from a fan standpoint, they was kissing the playoffs. Now, if this kid ain't it, then the playoffs is probably in rear for like at least two more seasons, because then you got to figure out what quarterback's going to be.
If the kid's not it, which I really don't, you know what I mean? You're doing
right,
little things that you're doing and your body. You know what I mean? Let's just say that. That's the elephant in the room. You go and get somebody, you overpay them. So now what are you going to do? Because the offensive line, their offensive line is their offensive line. It's the same. You know what I'm saying? It's like you keep getting hit. I mean, that's you got like, for example, like I said, me and my brother was just talking this because I kind of heard there was somebody else too. He asked me that yesterday morning, because all this stuff hit all of a sudden. The Saquon Barkley thing kind of blew me away. That was the one. Then Mixon is gone. I knew that was coming. But I just, for that right there, what are you doing? Like what are you is it, I mean, you gambling, but you ain't gambling to win. It's almost like you're gambling 51-49 or 53-47, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
You're not because you already know what that kid's got.
Dude. Yeah, they got to see if he's the dude or not. And
they signed a 39-year-old, guys, a 39-year-old.
Yeah.
When you had
a
Ryan
exactly.
Tannehill out there, you have a Jimmy Garoppolo, you got a Tyler Huntley. I mean, you have
eight years younger, damn near 10 years younger. That's right. I mean, fuck, what they do with Garoppolo blows my mind anyway.
Cutting them all.
It's probably a good thing Garoppolo ain't here. We'd probably lose our wives or girlfriends if he came into this town. Jimmy G'd steal them. So it's probably a good thing he didn't come. But no, like, I figured he'd be a great pick for the Colts to have as a backup. He's serviceable. He can come in there when you need him to. 2-3 games, maybe, you know. But you go with a 39-year-old, $8 million. You said, well, shit, we got to spend some money. Let's just throw some at this guy. I mean, damn, if we worry about that much, let's get to the United Way or something.
That, to me, is sending the wrong message to your team. I've always said this. I might have said this to one of you guys or both of you guys. In order to have a winning attitude, everybody has to buy in, from the owner to the equipment person to the mascot.
Mm-hmm.
All winning franchises have that same damn formula. So when you're
mm-hmm.
doing what you're doing, I've always said the same thing. The Colts ain't going to win nothing else until Ursay something with the team. It's the same thing with the Pacers. You can't use the excuse of small market. That's washed. You know what I mean? Everybody's getting money. Amazon's in on it now, so you can't say you don't have the money. You're just throwing money. You're throwing good money after bad.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
to me just does it. I just like I said, I was like, you see what I posted? Oh shit! I was like,
yeah.
You said, oh wow! I was like,
I did not expect to see that.
Well, Mike Kelly, your Bengals is cutting people left and right, man.
Yeah, I was shocked to see Mixon get cut.
I don't want to use the word frailty. I don't know what other. That's the first word came to my mind. Cause that's what my brother and I was talking about yesterday. But you trying to move. You trying to. We had time to do it. Cause here's the thing. When I need you to do something, then they double chase, and then that puts pressure on him. That's not. You know what I mean? Your receiving core has to. You got to spread it around. Even though it looks, because it's starting to get predictable.
Yeah,
you
let me give
got,
you.
I mean, our line ain't the greatest. Fuck, I mean, hell, look what it's done to Joe. So
let me give you a Colts update. There's a little bit more that came out with the Colts. Joe Flacco's 1-year deal with the Colts. It's actually $4.5 million fully guaranteed, with $3.7 million in incentives, with playing time, wins, playoffs, and playoff wins, equaling $8.2 million total per league source.
What about the being on the roster? You know they do that shit too. What is that included with the incentive? You know how they got that roster?
Yeah, it doesn't say, But the 4.5 makes a little more sense than the 8, you know.
Yeah.
A little bit, even though he's still 39 years old.
Knowing them, dude, hell, when they got Phillip Rivers, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You just love getting these guys, and then the whole offensive line let them down, and they knock their asses up in the vocal booth. I mean, up in the booth. Hasselbeck, I don't know. I don't get it. But
there's a lot of people that are apparently happy with this that I'm seeing.
Well,
they're saying, "Oh, he can learn behind Richardson. What, or he can teach Richardson." I don't want him to teach anything.
How you gonna learn? And you come from a different. No, you can't. You can't.
It's a whole different type of quarterback.
That's what I was getting ready to say. From the drop step to the quick release, it's different. So how are you gonna show me something? So
at least
my thing,
Pro Bowler Huntley, he has similar skill.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
How your Steelers gonna be with what's the name? How's that?
Hey,
let
Russ cook,
that?
Baby. Let Russ cook.
I
like the fact
they
traded Deontay. They traded Dante Johnson yesterday. I was happy with that. I was hoping they were gonna get Calvin Ridley, but it looks like he went to Tennessee today. There's word that Pittsburgh right now is talking to free agent. Friend of your program, Tyler Boyd, and then also they may be talking a trade for possibly T. Higgins from Cincy. So
they
if we get that,
I mean, it's that time. It's that time. How long has that core been together? 4 years, five.
Yeah.
So it's time. You're making strides. You know what to do. You know what I'm saying. You know what to do. Can't get it done. You know what I mean? At the 5-year mark, you know what to do.
Right. Yeah, Mike,
because
I'm not.
The NFC's turning into a monster.
Yeah, so, I'm not upset with the Russ. We're getting him for 1-point-something mil for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Broncos are paying the salary. Let's let him cook, see what happens.
That's exactly
maybe
what
we can get him a little bit.
That's what. Well, you won't have the pressure.
Yeah,
you won't
exactly.
have the pressure.
I told
you. You don't. And then you don't have Sean Payton's punk ass.
Yeah,
you know,
I told John.
I
gave John some shit last night. I said, "The juggernaut coming, Super Bowl, at least AFC Championship game or bust."
This dude, wow!
They got the quarterback. They're a better team already with them.
Man,
literally,
the Ravens did pick up Derrick Henry.
You guys, boys.
Okay, I'm glad
man.
You said that, John. They
heat,
did.
A lot of heat over in that AFC, boy.
Yeah,
you
Derrick.
Know that.
Oh, I know. Derrick Henry, yeah, he went to the Ravens, John. They gained offense, but they lost their defense. They lost four guys on defense already.
No, I thought that's crazy.
One, two,
that's
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Patrick Queen. So
that's what I was just going to say. What about Henry? But yeah, I mean it's going to be different. I mean, but that division is competitive anyway. It always has been.
Yep.
It's just spreading out more. Cleveland's doing, you know what I mean? Cleveland's doing some things. It's time now. You can't make no more excuses. I mean, you had all this time to get well, so we'll see how that shakes. You got
right.
a solid backup, and then you got us and the Bengals trying to do some things. You got you guys at Pittsburgh. You got Baltimore right there. I mean, everybody's pieces away for the most part. That's what I was going to say. Then you got the AFC South. Is that Houston? Is that them? What do you guys think? I think so.
I'm going to tell you this. It's probably not a popular opinion on these airwaves, but I think all three teams in that division improved except for the Colts.
Yeah. That's what I told
I'm
my
serious.
Brother.
All they did was re-sign people. They haven't got out and got anybody.
Yep. You didn't go out and get draft. Yeah.
But Tennessee's put a team together. Boy.
Quick. Well,
yeah.
That's how they was. That's how they did that before with that. Remember, that's not their first time moving real fast.
And they need
just
to with that
to
new stadium coming.
Yeah, definitely that. Do you feel that on the NFC, do you feel that the Eagles have catapulted past San Fran? Because it's Shanahan? Do you, I mean, I think so.
Shanahan
dropped the ball, man. He really did.
Yeah.
The defense did.
Yeah, I think adding Saquon is a huge plus for that team. I'm anxious to see how that offensive line is now that Kelsey's retired. I don't know if the tush-push is still going to be what it used to be because Kelsey was in charge of that. But
yeah, he was.
If I look at personnel-wise, I mean, it's 1A, 1B. I'd say I'd put the Eagles just slightly above the 49ers, but 49ers haven't, and I probably will do that because now the quarterback play, I'm still going to say Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy, and that's probably what keeps him above him.
Well, Brock played, he played the best game he could play. Managed the football. That was the defense that lost that game. Period, dot. Brock played the best game that he could possibly play. He checked off all the boxes. I let the defense do, and they dropped the ball. The defense dropped the ball.
Can't you say the same about Jalen Hurts the year before?
Huh?
You can say the same about Jalen Hurts the year before against the Chiefs. He had a hell of a game.
But the thing about Jalen Hurts to me is he had a point to prove from 3 years ago. Well, four now. I mean, you could say that, but Jalen has so much, and then he pulled all them guys in. He bought us help too, but they are all, you know, they followed him, and that,
right.
You know, that's admirable. But yeah, I like how everything is moving around. But yeah, the Colts didn't. Yeah, they just the Colts. They just
sitting
the Colts.
On their asses. They re-signed their guys. That's what. That's what we want to do, re-sign our guys. They got, you know, they signed their
–
Exactly,
yep.
Right? Hey, let me ask you this, Mike. Are you are you going to spend any time watching the Netflix fight, Jake Paul against Tyson?
You know what? So my girl was telling me about that, and I thought she was bullshitting. I was like – she told me about that last week, and I was like
– Mike needs a payday.
And so – I couldn't. That's all it is, because I saw the. You know, so she had. You know, I'm out on the road. I'm out all week. So when I got back, she was telling me on the phone, and I was like, Jake Paul. I said, okay, he knocked out Nate Robertson, a basketball player. But I said Mike Tyson is still Mike Tyson. I said, and for a 57, 58 year old guy, his footwork.
Right.
He don't look like. It'll be just like, this is what I say, it'll be just like when Michael Moore fought Foreman. He dropped that motherfucker with one. You remember that? He dropped him. Like, it'll be just like that. Now
Mike,
he
still got punches. I've seen him warming up. Last week, I saw him sparring.
Yeah.
Four.
And he's been like that for 4 years.
Yeah.
This ain't recent. So he ain't just doing marijuana farms. He's saying that's a cash grab. But did you see the stare off? You see how he was at the stare off?
Uh huh.
Tyson looked like Iron Mike. He was just staring at him, and that dude was looking. I said, oh yeah, you know that graph where the dude says, see, if you come over here, this is where you fuck around and find out, or whatever he said. that literally was like, he brought that graph out, he drew that segment line, and he was like, you fuck around and find out.
Right.
So I'll watch it just for, you know, but
at least it's
free
too.
Yeah. That's pretty dope. I didn't know that at first, and I think I saw something about that yesterday. Wait a minute, what's today? Wednesday? No, it was Monday I saw that, where it was going to be on. But I don't know, man. It's a money grab. That's a dangerous
game.
Let
me tell you this,
guys. Look at what them guys come from. They came from fucking bullshitting on YouTube.
I'm reading about this fight, and I'm not as happy as I was expecting to be. So there are some interesting rules now that are out for this fight. According to the news, sent shockwaves. But according to heavyweight boxer Derek Chisora, I think I said his name right, the fight will see both competitors wearing headgear and gloves, which are bigger than the usual 18-ounce size.
So the exhibition gloves.
Yep.
But here's the thing. You're still talking about a fucking Iron Mike. You're still talking about a 58-year-old hard hitter. You can put one of them helmets on for when people fall and they don't with the cradle thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't
I know Mike's alluding to the fact that Mike Tyson has this I mean, he's punching since he was 16 years old. And, like, I don't know if a punch that Jake Paul, and I know he's accomplished semi-fighter, I don't know if that's going to faze him, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't – that's why they have this protective headgear on it, man. Because, like, man, they call –
yeah, because he'll fucking kill that dude, man.
Yeah, man.
Around and frame Bruno that damn
remember,
dude.
Hey, man, I know everybody on the phone seen Rocky IV. Remember, they, like, he said in Rocky IV, he said, whatever Drago hits,
if
he destroys.
Dies.
I remember in the Jet magazine, man. Brandon, I'll get you one, bro. Yeah, I know you ain't got one. But man, I remember in the Jet magazine, Mike Tyson had hit Mitch Green. The Jet magazine put
that's
it in Jet
magazine.
That's what
I was just going to say. What about Mitch Green?
I never
Black
seen nothing like
his
that.
Eyes and broke his nose.
I never seen that. Like, I was like, why would he try to challenge Mike Tyson? And who knows what happened. It was some old street level stuff. But, like, man, he hit him with his bare fist, man, and rearranged the dude's whole face.
Yeah.
That's what they call dealing with.
The odds have Jake Paul at -360 and Tyson at +300.
Oh my gosh!
They got to do that to draw it in, man. You guys are. That's your. You know what I mean? You know how the game goes.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's gonna be that bullshit fight. You know, it's gonna go to some dumbass unanimous decision thing that they're gonna give it to Paul and Tyson's gonna bend the knee, which he shouldn't. But I had to get your thoughts on that. Had to. I saw it and I said, Mike, I got to have his
idea.
Yeah,
that shit blew my mind, man. I was like, holy shit. Because when she told me, I was like, the internet guy? I said, Jake Paul? I was like, no. I said, you probably heard it wrong. And she pulled it up and sent it to me. I said, oh, shit. Well, like you said, Brandon. And she told me about the head. She was like, I said, oh, they're going to pull all kind of shit. I said, because if he hits that guy, he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
That's
like watching a WWF match and not back in the day, The Rock versus Stone Cold, not expecting some interference to come in.
Hey, rest in peace to Virgil, man. I thought about you guys when I shared that on Facebook.
Yeah. I heard a... interesting story about Virgil from there was a wrestler. They were talking about his death. And then they said, Virgil was, I don't even know if I want to say it on the show. He, has a skill that he could do to himself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
Apparently he was flaunting it in the locker room.
Oh my goodness, I'm good on that.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's some wide rule. That, you know how they say read between the lines?
Yeah.
That's some wide rule. That definitely wasn't college rule paper that you
But yeah, man, that sucks for to see him pass. I know he was having health issues and man, that's another thing.
That's
a lot of these wrestlers don't have like benefits and stuff, man. He had GoFundMes for things.
Well, look at what they've done to their bodies with the juice. So, you know, I mean, everybody can't be, you know what I mean? Like once you get off of it, you know what I mean? And that's when they're pumping you up with it. And then when you got to live a life, I mean, everybody doesn't have the tenacity of some of the other guys and ladies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're seeing them. Most of the ones we grew up on in WWF are gone,
mm-hmm.
You know. I seen a Ricky the Dragon Steamboat with I think I shared that. He's pretty gray, but I mean, fuck, he was fighting in the '80s.
Things is retired.
Yeah,
yeah.
Things
yeah,
old
ass. Yeah.
What did you think of that, John?
Yeah, man.
You watch this fight? Did you see highlights?
No, I watched the highlights, man. Things out there. I mean, he's out there with his sons. His sons did a little cosplay. They dressed up like different.
That's
versions.
What I was going to say with his, yeah.
I mean, Brandon and Mike, it's not still – he should always – I get it. He wanted to retire as a Turner Network broadcasting person. You know what I'm saying? Working in TNT or working TBS, that's what him and Ric Flair kind of, Dusty Rhodes kind of synonymous with. That's kind of what, how they look at AEW. The AEW, I'm going to say it again, AEW ain't WCW. That's a clown show. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah. I watched it a couple times just to see.
They gave him, I mean, but Tony Khan wrote out a, you know what I'm saying, big dollar for Sting. He brought in his sons. You know what I'm saying? Darby brought in Ric Flair. Hell, Ric Flair thought about doing a swerve, like one more move. But like, dude, Ric Flair trying to prolong his stay. Like, dude, if you swerve Sting, they're going to keep you and Sting around for another year, dude. They ain't like got time for that. But like, nah, man, he brought in, you know what I'm saying, he paid top dollar for, you know what I'm saying, for Sting to go out on top, man. And, you know what I'm saying, it was kind of a cool little match or whatever. But like, the Young Bucks, good night. I'm over.
I saw Darby go through like some glass and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to see Stinger take a title like that, but, you know, other than that. Mike Kelly, you're
so what else?
We ready to pack in the Celtics? We going to pack the Celtics in as champs?
He's jumping on all your teams.
Say what now?
I said we're going to go ahead and pack it in. The Celtics are champs. Go ahead and give them the title.
No. I got my Larry Bird weapons. I still got my no easy buckets. I've never worn those, so I'm ready. I mean, I just
cigar is ready.
I'm ready because they're tied. I need that over that 17 because the Lakers ain't Gary Wynn nothing else.
right.
They're not. So we're tied.
John said
right
they are next year with Bronny.
I never said that.
Anyway, I think his brother's better than him.
Probably.
You know, that whole thing is just, you know, the one thing about LeBron, if I was younger, I wouldn't know no better. You know what I'm saying? But I'm old enough. I'm in my 50s, right? So I'm old enough to remember 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010, you know. So whenever I try to be subjective, and I'm like, okay, you know, this is a different time. LeBron does some shit or he says something, and I'm like, so I feel like he's the top dog right now in this era. But now when he said that thing on Twitter about, you know, let's leave my son alone, I was like, motherfucker, you're the one who did it.
right?
You brought this. I mean, we knew who he was and we knew what he was capable of, but you did this. So now you see, and he knows. I mean, every parent knows they don't know their kid. I think his brother's better than him. I think he's better all around. I think his brother's better than him. The thing that sucks is, you know, he had the health scare with what I think was his heart, and
right.
So. I think that's a lot of pressure for a kid.
Right.
LeBron should play it like Deion plays with Shadoa and the other one. You should play it like that, but that's just LeBron being LeBron. Dude, calm your ass down. You're going to get your team to play in Vegas. Calm down.
Yeah,
calm
right.
down. Because then what happens is he shoots his mouth off, and then when it doesn't go the way he wants it to go, he pouts. That's
right.
I don't like that. I don't like that with LeBron. I don't. That's the
right.
that's
just,
the
just
one
because,
thing about his legacy that really irks the shit out of me.
Yeah, just because he's the number one draft pick don't mean LeBron. LeBron is gonna be number one. I say let the science and let the scouts, all those things, kind of play out, and just let it play out. Let him enjoy being a youth at on college, man. You know what I mean? It don't have to be parallel like how you did. So.
Right.
Do you feel like he's tired of L.A.? I think so.
Who? Which one? LeBron?
LeBron.
Of L.A.?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's too much commitment there.
Yeah.
He got too much power there, too, even though Jenny Buss owns the team. I kind of threw it out to Brandon. No, I kind of threw it out. I talked to somebody else. I think he tries to buy a team. I know everybody wants him to, like, buy the new team in Vegas, but, like, Jimmy busting them.
Well,
like,
he
why
said
don't they
that himself.
Tell it. Well, yeah, but like, why don't they just sell the Lakers?
He ain't gonna sell the Lakers
to LeBron.
Him.
Sell the Lakers
no.
to LeBron.
No.
There you go.
No.
Okay.
You don't remember what the doc said? That shit'll never go. He's damn near like Jerry Jones with this shit. with his daughter. Yeah, that ain't going. I understand your deal though. I get it. Why not buy mm-hmm. something that's already there?
Right.
But I would say do it. I don't agree with that just because there's certain things that come to play. There's certain places, like I was saying about the whole everybody buys in, that goes for basketball too. That goes for any sport. So when you got certain teams and certain stigmas in certain towns, you're gonna exasperate yourself trying to pump life into that. You're not who you think you are. And then when you're in the boardroom, now you're dealing with old money. You're dealing with old money and old ways.
Right.
So Mark Cuban was an innovator. Look how long it took for him to get something going. Relatively quick by you know what I mean? But he still took some time. So I agree. I see your point, but I think it's better for him to just put something brand new. Because if not, you're going to run into that stigma. Look at what happened with Jordan. People say it was him. He didn't. No, I don't think so. It's Charlotte. It's not. I mean, and there's some stuff going on down there. It ain't been no better since he sold the team.
Right.
It ain't no better.
Right.
Charlotte ain't been nothing since Zoe.
Man, I'm gonna have to look into that one, man, because they
and
left.
And Muggsy Bogues.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the Did
perfect.
You guys, you see Brandon? You give him a shout out.
Who's that?
Yeah, Brandon Brantley.
That's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, assistant coach of the year, Brandon Brantley, Big Ten assistant coach of the year. Matter of fact, Mike, I know you wasn't there, man. We were actually at Butler, and one of the students asked us, you know, saying who we thought one of our best interview was, and I told him, I said our interview with Brandon Brantley. Anytime he comes on. You know what I'm saying? We get a wealth of knowledge, particularly in the Purdue, you know what I'm saying, the Purdue vein, man.
Mm-hmm.
That winning culture that they have up there. And because, I mean, he's part of it. You know what I'm saying? Played there, you know what I'm saying, 4 years, came back, you know what I'm saying, worked, grinded out here, you know what I'm saying, in the Circle City as assistant coach on various possible teams. And finally, you know what I'm saying, got an opportunity. And he, like I said, he's one of the number one power recruiter, assistant coaches, however you want to term it, in the nation. He just happens to work for Purdue, man. So, yeah, man, congratulations to Brandon Brantley.
My favorite interview I said was Mike Kelly. So, shout out to that. So, got to give it a
look. Oh, man. Hey, man, I'm trying to get my golf game together so I can swing with you guys a little bit.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it in. I don't want to stink up the play.
You'll be all right, Mike. We let Reggie swing with us, man. You will be just fine.
Yep.
You did
absolutely.
What now?
We golf with Reggie, man. You'll be just fine.
Okay. Well, hey, dude, I ain't gonna hold you guys. I gotta hit these windows. It's damn near 65 out here. Hot. So keep
all
up
right.
the good work, fellas, and. You know, I'll be checking in.
Sounds good, Mike. Take care, buddy. Drive safe.
Dude, we hit
thanks,
all kinds
man.
Of topics
later.
About Kelly.
Oh, yeah. We hit it all.
Well, he's a force fanatic anyway, and I like that Mike likes different teams other than we always kind of consistently report on. So, you know what I'm saying? Anybody listening, y'all got a wealth of Bengals talk. Y'all got a wealth of Boston Celtics talk, man. Like I said, because those are the kind of teams that Mike Kelly, friend of the program, kind of follows me. But, yeah, thanks, Mike, for calling in.
Yeah. College basketball, real quick, John. We just got a couple minutes. I do want to say, I kind of hit on already all the signings for the NFL the other day when I was at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum. So I won't hit that anymore. You can see everything there. But two shout outs. Number one, shout out to the Ball State women's basketball team. They won today, 77-53 over Ohio. So they advance to take on the Kent State Northern Illinois winner on Friday. So shout out to them. I had a great interaction, friend of the program. I used to compete against her when I was head of the scout team at Ball State. Portia Green saw her at the Horizon League conference tournament, so it was great to catch up with her a little bit. My topic, last topic before I go, John, I want to talk with you. Mike Woodson, we talked about IU already, how they beat Michigan State, whatever. this smug son of a gun, I about use other words, in the post game said, John, I want to thank you, the fans, for being the true, and I am mean true, true fans, and I am the coach here. Stand that. There shouldn't be anything else floating around my job. I've done my job. What? Excuse me? You've done your job?
Hey, man, I told you, a winning streak will make you feel a little too cocky, won't it?
Something like that.
Just take the winning streak as like, hey, man, we are working harder. I would have answered a little bit different. We were working hard. I know the expectations of our team, and this being Indiana. Brandon, I'm gonna send in my credentials, my resume, to become Mike Wilson's speechwriter. At least I'll be employed for a year, right?
Right.
But man. He listened to the media, bro. Stop. You playing this media game. As soon as he kind of like chimed and started noticed that the media was like kind of paying attention to everything that he did, and he started making snarky comments even to like the media that kind of likes him. Like, dude, don't play. This is Indiana. This is Indiana media, so it ain't even like hardcore. But you know, winning to cure everything, Brandon. But like, he should tone down the, you know, saying that's not back at the media. Only Popovich can do that because he's got 5 championships. You barely got a 3-game winning streak.
Right. I don't want to get into it. I'll at least give you a comment that I just saw on our Facebook page with the Joe Flacco news. Decott said, great get.
Right.
I'll leave it at that. Because I don't want to get – he's going to call. Decott, we'll have to get you on next week's show. John, anything else you have, my man? We got March Madness. We may do Monday night a selection show. Monday night to go through the bracket. You good for that?
I should be good for Monday or anytime, anything. Yeah, Monday for sure. Sunday I can't do anything Sunday. But yeah,
I got to work sure. Sunday, and then I'm gonna like basically be driving home as the bracket's going out, so I'll be able to just listen to it. But that'll give us Sunday night and a little bit of Monday to go in to kind of break through the brackets and all that. So we'll do a bracket show Monday night. I'll get it set up on here for everybody. Put it on your calendars. Brackets are coming out. John, we are – what's today? Today's the 13th. We are 5 days away. So we're doing a bracket show on Monday night, which is fitting because that will be the 7-year anniversary of Crossroads Sports on Monday. And our very first show for Crossroads Sports – actually was a bracketology show when the brackets came out back in 2017. So it's fitting we do a bracket show on the 7th anniversary for it. So looking forward to that. We'll be, and also the new season will start that night, or not that night, but that Wednesday, season 8 of Crossroads Sports.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot coming down the pike. Can't wait, and can't do it without you guys. We can't do it without our sponsor, Scott King Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Without you guys, we would not be able to do what we do. If you're listening to us for the first time and you want to hop on board, you want to sponsor, we've got spots. We've got opportunities. We've got openings. We've got new things that me and John are going to do in season 8 that are going to blow people's mind. We got a lot more video content coming out. We've got a lot more 1 Minute Man that I'm going to be having coming out. We'd love to have some sponsors for those segments as well. So you know somebody, send them our way. Send them this clear. Please, another thing, and we don't do it enough on here, please like, please subscribe, please share. Share the Facebook feed of this podcast. Share the actual podcast itself from Google or from iTunes, Apple, from the YouTube. Share. Get the likes. That's how we get more of an audience. That's where we get the stuff, more stuff that comes in, and we can do more for our audience. We're going to do live shows, more live shows at local establishments here on season 8. That's what we're going to be looking to get to. But we can't do that without you. We can't do that with our sponsors, and we can't do that without more sponsors. So please reach out to us, and we'll see what we can do. John, I know I'll let you kind of finish up. I did my soapbox there, but I'll let you finish up. And I'd like for you, if you want to talk real quick, and put in your final spiel, our interactions we had at Butler last week when we went. Because we've had a lot go on this past week, but we did go to Butler University on Thursday.
Man, it's just always good to talk to. So we went to Butler and talk to Professor Boyd's reading and writing reporting class. It's always good to communicate with the new, with the future, you know what I'm saying, journalists and multimedia reporters. They're going to be out there covering sports and covering pretty much anything, you know what I'm saying? But particularly that particular class is a sports coverage class. But, like, man, it's always good to talk to them, share Crossroads sports stories, share some of their experiences, because we met some new guys. The homie Sterling from the Butler Dogcast kind of follows us and whatnot right now, kind of offers some of his services as well on the show. We also got a chance to meet up with the homie Eva Holman, who's actually the host of the Butler Dogcast YouTube show. It was good connecting with her. She's always busy. Heck, she's actually interning right now for the Indy Fuel, you know what I'm saying, and doing broadcasts for them as well, man. And who we had on the show about 3 weeks ago, man. So, like, yeah, she'll be back. She'll probably be back out here because she's always down to talk sports or whatnot. You know what I'm saying, for being Fuel Butler. Man, she's always, like I said, she's always down to talk sports or not. But, like, no, it was great. It's always good to kind of, like I said, go to Butler and to talk to those inspire you. I get inspired, Brennan, and like I said, hopefully, you know what I'm saying, it's a two-way street. Outside of that, though, Brandon, like, nah, man, this has been an incredible little week that we've had. And like Brandon said, it was going to be even more stuff to kind of, you know what I'm saying, I like to tell everything, but I'm not. But it's going to be more stuff kind of comes down the pipeline. So everybody, you know what I'm saying, be looking for that. Thanks to our sponsors, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance. Thanks to our sponsors, Mavericks Custom Motorsports. Thanks to Mike Kelly for calling in. He gave us a bunch of content, man. We went down NBA and everything else with him, NBA, NFL with him as well, man. So thanks for him calling in. Thanks for everybody. I seen some folks kind of chiming in on the Facebook Live. I want to say thank you for them for chiming in on that as well, man. Crossroads Sports, Brandon Reed, Jonathan Brodsong, man. We are going to be back here doing it bigger and better every next week, man. Check out episode 293. Until then, thanks for listening.
The brackets are out on Sunday night. Get your brackets ready.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.